Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and each week we explore a different aspect of the unknown, including news updates and exciting guests. And this is our new time. Formerly, we were on Thursday evenings, but now we've moved to Wednesday at 9 o'clock. So I hope all our listeners have found us. And at any rate, we have a really exciting show. Our guest tonight is Kate Johnson, and we're going to talk about the UFO encounters of Kate Johnson. And before I actually introduce my guest, let me just tell you a little bit of UFO news. There's an interesting publication that's just been released by the Center for the UFO Studies. This is the J. Allen Hynek Center for UFO Studies based in Chicago, Illinois. And they have released a book which is basically a compilation from a bunch of different authors. But one article that really interested me was by, her name is Stephanie Kelly Romano. And she wrote an article called A Report on the Demographics and Beliefs of Alien Abduction Experiences. Now, most of her findings are pretty consistent with other researchers. She found that abductees have had experiences as children, that they often report repeat encounters, and that encounters have spread to their family and friends. But what I found very interesting was she found that abductees generally believe that they possess psychic abilities, and this ranges through a whole different list of psychic abilities, including past lives, the power to heal, and this sort of thing. And most of them see the experience as positive. What I found interesting about that is that's pretty much exactly what I have found in my own research. So I thought that was interesting, though. There are, of course, some people who do not find their experiences positive, I should say that. And I want to talk about a couple of recent UFO sightings. For example, in Boulder, Colorado, on October 19th, 2006, just last year, a child and two adults were sitting in a hot tub on a cold and partly cloudy night when the 10-year-old boy looked up and screamed out, "What's that?" The adults looked up but didn't see anything. The 10-year-old, he insisted he just saw a UFO. And he ran inside and he was really frightened. And everyone could see he was clearly scared, but nobody really believed him. And finally, he stayed outside looking for this UFO until they told him to come back inside. And just as he was coming back in, he pointed up and said, "There it is." And all the adults looked up and they saw this giant V-shaped triangular object made up of a reddish, dull, illuminated sections. It was flying very low at about 1,000 feet elevation, and all the adults were, quote, in shock. So it's very interesting. That's a very interesting sighting. Another very interesting sighting occurred in Hawaii. This was actually just a few days later, on October 21st at 3 p.m., this was reported to the National UFO Reporting Center in Washington. And a father says that his daughter, his 8-year-old daughter, and her friend had a sighting and an interaction with a UFO over their home in Hawaii. The two girls were sleeping in their room and were awakened by a strong wind and a loud crash. And they saw what they thought was a meteor shower, but instead it turned out to be a hovering saucer complete with lights. It was making loud mechanical noises, and it hovered there and then finally left. But at that point, suddenly a bunch of red, multi-laser-like lights entered the room and focused on the two girls. The two girls said they were not able to move. They couldn't touch themselves or each other. They heard themselves talk but couldn't hear the other person. And finally the lights left, and they suddenly felt extremely sleepy and fell asleep and woke up an hour later. And they saw a UFO about a mile away at that point, which darted away. So this sounds like a very interesting and involved abduction story. But it just goes to show this stuff is still going on. And that's why I'm so excited about our guest tonight. I've been wanting to get her on the show forever. Her name is Kate Johnson, and she has actually followed several careers. She was a romance novelist early in her life. She's a registered nurse. A sales clerk, and many other jobs, some of which I'm hoping we'll talk about tonight. And since a very young age, she has had numerous very dramatic and really unique UFO encounters. today, I mean, to this date, she's probably had, I don't know, dozens or 50 or more UFO encounters. We'll have to ask her about that. And she currently resides in Southern California, where she cares for her parents and her many loving animal friends. And, well, Kate, are you there?
I'm here, Preston. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Trying to get over some virus thing in my throat, so if I sound like a frog, don't mind me.
Oh, you sound fine. I'm so glad you agreed to come on the show.
Well,
oh, I'm so excited. I can't tell you.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. I'm thankful that I had the day off, which doesn't happen very often. But yeah, it's very nice to be here. Again, thank you. It's really nice to talk to you.
Yeah, see, I know about your experiences. All the listeners out there, they don't know yet, but you've already told me. I mean, we've talked for hours and hours.
Yes, I do know how to monopolize a conversation, don't I?
Oh, it's great, because, you know, your stories are so, I mean, they're different than a lot of the people I've interviewed, and you've really got a way of telling a story. And
well,
I mean, you're just, I don't know what it is, but your encounters are just really incredible.
Well, it's probably because I feel so passionate about it. You know, I, with my life, my experiences, they're not an uncommon thing with me. Now, my friends would beg to differ. You know, they think I have a very unusual life, and with me, it's just commonplace. But I have had some very unusual experiences, and I've never had a problem talking about them. That's one thing about me. I don't mind talking about them. You know, Dolly Parton said a long time ago, I heard her say this on TV many years ago, it's none of my business what people think of me. And, you know, I've always resonated with that, even before I heard it. You know, people will like me for who I am, and my passion about animals and the environment and things like that. But my passion, I grew up, came out of the womb with the knowledge of other beings, and if you want to call them UFOs. But yes, I've had some very interesting encounters. I've seen some things that would curl someone else's hair, and
well, I just can't wait to get started, actually.
Well, all right, dear. I won't waste any more time.
How many encounters sightings would you say you've had? Just a rough estimate.
I would have to say hundreds.
Wow.
No joke at all.
I believe you. I've had about 20, I would say myself, so, and I'm not by any means a contactee or anything like that, but it's by hanging around people like you that I've been seeing these things. So let's start like with some of your early childhood ones so people can get a feel of what it was like in the beginning.
Okay. As a young child, and we're talking before a year old, and I know it sounds very crazy that a lot of people say, how can you remember things at that age? But you know what? We can. A lot of people can. If they gave it a try, if they meditated and cleared their mind of all the clutter that we humans have as adults, they would be amazed at what they could remember. I was visited as a baby. I can remember the timeline because I had had surgery as a child. And it didn't keep me down. I had a hernia at 6 months. And they waited until I was about eight months to have the surgery. And it was in between the crease of my right leg and my torso. So I had the surgery. And I remember being visited by a female being in blue. She wasn't in full, I mean, she was like a ghost, but she would rub my back and rub my head and sing a lullaby that was in another language, but I found that I could understand. It was about a place far away. It just was absolutely incredible. And through the years, these beings have visited me on certain occasions, not so much now as an adult, but more so as a child, before we become jaded.
Did they look human?
Yes, quite human. Quite human.
Well, could they have been just like ghosts or spirits?
No, I don't believe so. I do believe that these were beings from either another dimension or I can't say from a UFO, but I do believe in other dimensions. I don't think that they are here. I know they are. And I would like to change the thought process of many people all around the world to stop saying, well, maybe. There's no maybe.
Right.
There is definitely other beings. Maybe we can't see them. Maybe we can at certain times. Maybe some people like myself who seem to be a little bit more in tune with things, and I don't mean to sound that as egotistical, but it's just very interesting. Most of the people that I've run across who can see things that other people can't, it just fascinates me. I'm just fascinated with everything that's going on, and there's just not enough time in the night to hit it all.
Right.
But, yes.
So how many times were you visited by these, they were translucent, bluish?
Bluish females. I never saw a male, but I saw the female.
Throughout your childhood?
Throughout my childhood, and quite a bit. Oh, my goodness. I would have to say close to maybe 100 times.
Uh-huh.
Almost every night. It was just... And I'm sure I don't remember every night, but I remember as a child getting up there, you know, age three, I was quite a night owl. My parents would put me to sleep about 8, and I would sneak out of bed, down the hallway, and lay in the floor next to the sofa and watch TV. And if they got up to go to the kitchen, they couldn't see me because the table was right there. So I could blend in really good, watch TV, and then by the time the TV shows were over, I would just creep back to bed. And I'd still be awake way past midnight. And about that time, the big clock that my mom had on the wall was a fairy clock. And the little fairies would go around, and it would glow in the dark. So I could see the face of the clock as I was laying in bed. And about every night around midnight, these beings would just appear by my bed, and they would just stand there, just right there next to the bed. I could see right through them.
Did they ever talk to you?
Yes.
What did they say?
Oh, they would tell me, well, they would tell me about a place that I came from. I know that sounds kind of strange, but I believe that everyone on this planet, their ethereal being or their soul, whatever you want to call it, comes from somewhere else. And it's a mixture of different kinds of beings. And why we, you know, come into human form, I have no idea. I mean, that's something that is still in the works, and I may never know that answer, but I do believe that we all possess, or we are all an ethereal being of some sort. And I'm not talking angel or any religious thing. I am talking beings from other places. And in speaking with different people for the 49 years that I have been doing this, I am truly cemented in my belief that we definitely come from somewhere else. And these women, when they came to visit, would tell me that I came from their world. And I remember growing up after they stopped coming as often as they did, I felt anger. And I still feel a little bit of anger of being left behind. I don't know if that makes sense, but I've had other people tell me in, you know, who have been abducted or who believe they have been abducted, that they don't feel as though they belong here. And mm-hmm. I have people tell me that all the time.
Me too.
Don't understand why they're here. I don't believe I belong here. And I hear that all the time.
Oh.
And it just validates my feeling that we all have a being. We are all beings from wherever it is, another world, another dimension, another planet, whatever you want to call it, another realm. And why we incarnate into a human form, well, you've got me. I haven't figured that one out yet, but if I ever do, you'll be the first one I tell. But I have studied UFOs. I have studied ghosts. I was on a ghost hunting team for 13 years. And things that I saw hunting ghosts, things that I felt, were just absolutely amazing. So my guess is that a lot of that is tied together.
Right. Well, before we get into ghosts, let's hear some more of your amazing UFO sightings and encounters.
Let's see. The very first time I ever saw a being other than the blue women, the blue females, I was in high school, freshman year. I was had a boyfriend, and he had had a fight with his parents, and so we had a travel trailer parked in our backyard we used to use for vacations. And he came over, and he stayed. I put him up in the travel trailer so he could sleep overnight and then go back home after everything had cooled off. Well, his friend Chuck had come over, and he had climbed over the fence, and Chuck and Mike were talking in the trailer, and I was in my bedroom finishing up some homework, and I went to bed, and I woke up probably a little after 1 o'clock, and everything was quiet. And when I looked over, there was a light shining in the window, and I thought the moon, because I sleep with my drapes open, and during the summer, it's so nice to have the window open if it's not too hot. And I thought, oh, the moon has come out. So I rolled over in bed and was looking out the window. And as I looked out the window, here was this being standing in my window, completely self-illuminating. The moon wasn't out, but it was this being. And it looked very translucent. It had the almond-shaped eyes. It wasn't in solid form, but I couldn't see through it. But it was it wasn't really a bright light. But I was just amazed. I rubbed my eyes, you know, like you see in the movie, to make sure that I wasn't dreaming. And I got out of bed, and I started towards it, and it kind of stiffened, like it didn't want me to get any closer. And I put my hand out, and I said, I'm not going to hurt you.
No, was it wearing?
You better not hurt me.
Was it wearing anything, or did it have hair?
It didn't. You know what? I couldn't tell. My window is about 5 feet from the ground. And so all I saw was about shoulders and the neck and the head. And it was about my height, because I reached my 5'7" when I was in seventh grade. So I was 5'7", you know, in high school. And
what did its head look like?
It looked like a gray, like...
Right.
Very slender, but it was self-illuminating. I just couldn't believe it. It was like it flipped the switch on, and a light bulb came on, and the whole thing was just a beautiful pale white color.
Yeah.
I didn't see really a mouth, but I saw the eyes. And what I felt was overwhelming love. I wasn't scared. I didn't feel any malevolence. But when I started to walk towards it, it was more afraid of me than I think I was of it. And I heard my dad snore, and I heard my mom get up. And at that time, I turned my head, looking at my door, thinking, oh my goodness, you know, the folks are waking up, they're going to come barging in here. So when I turned back to the window, it was gone. And Mike and Chuck, you know, I called out to them and they came running. They didn't see a thing. They looked all over the yard, didn't see a thing, not a thing. But that was the first time I'd ever seen what you call the grays. And I don't even know if it was a gray, but it was a self-illuminating being. And it was absolutely beautiful. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't feel any malevolence from it at all. And its eyes, I mean, you know, the black up against the light was a little unnerving, but I felt absolutely no fright.
Well, did you feel it was male or female?
My feeling on it, what I felt, was female.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you see where did you see where it went?
My guess is it either went straight up or it just dissolved. It just melted into thin air. And I'm guessing if it, you know, came from another dimension, that it was able to go back the same way or, manipulate the molecular structure of whatever it is they do.
Wow.
But, that was the first time, like I said, other than the blue female beings, that I saw something like that. And Chuck and Mike, of course, looked at me like, yeah, right. But Mike, you know, we'd been dating for some time, and he had witnessed me with some unusual experiences. And, you know, over the years, I've had friends that have witnessed some very unusual things, and they were so frightened that, you know, we never made contact again. You know, they were just too frightened that some of the things that happened in my life are just too weird for them to even be friends. And, you know, that's okay. That's okay. That's happened quite a bit. When I was married, my husband at the time, and he and I are still really good friends, he said, I you used to tell me you had a weird life. Because I got to the point where I didn't want to date or even get close to anybody because there were so many strange things that were happening to me. A lot of people just can't handle that. They have to be really made of stern stuff in order to handle some of the things that happen.
Right.
So.
Now, did you see a UFO
I've seen many.
On that one occasion where you saw the
being?
Figure by your window?
No. After I went outside, I looked in the skies. I looked to see if there was a ship of some sort. But, you know, in my heart, I thought, nope, there is no ship. They didn't come by ship. And a lot of them, I believe, don't come by ship. And I believe a lot of them travel through dimension, and they have a way of stepping into our dimension from theirs. And I know there's a way to do it, but, you know, we just haven't figured it out. You know, I truly believe that we bring with us all of this information that we need to get by here on Earth, as well as to ascend us into, you know, being ascended beings, I guess you want to call it. And I've actually figured out some of the things that I've brought with me. Not everybody may bring the same thing with them. But, you know, if you meditate and, you know, keep your mind open, it's amazing what kind of things can come through. You know, it just is amazing.
All right. Oh, yeah. I totally agree. So what about that sighting you had where you were driving along and you got out of your car and you were looking at this object above you and then a police officer came up behind you?
Oh, the highway patrolman. Oh, okay.
That was a good one.
That happened on September 6th of 2005.
Oh, that was recent.
Yes, that's a recent one. I was coming back from the place that I work, and I was on the freeway here in Bakersfield. We have a what we call a crosstown freeway. It gets us from one side of the city to the other in a lot less time than having to travel through the residential sections and that. So we just call it the Crosstown Freeway. And I was coming up on my off-ramp. And I tell you what, my off-ramp to the right, if I go to the right, there's a Rite Aid and a Marie Callender's, and there's a parking lot with a lot of lights. And if I turn left, which is normally the way I go, over the overpass, which will be taking me north towards my house, there's shopping center, Carl's Jr., several, gas stations. So there's a lot of light around. I mean, it's not dark, but coming up on the freeway, I was coming from the west, going east, and I was just on my way home, and I was coming up on my exit, and I honestly couldn't tell you why I saw it. I shouldn't have seen it by all rights. I shouldn't have seen what I did, but I'm looking through the windshield. I'm, going down the road, singing to my music, and I look through the windshield, and something caught my attention. And I looked through it again, and here was this ship, this circular ship, hanging. It was like it was hanging on rope right above the overpass. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing, so I pulled off to the side of the road, off the freeway, and there's a big sump area where the water runs off, and it just, it's filled with water and reeds and plants, and a lot of the birds have made nests in this kind of area. And so I get out of the car, and I'm putting my foot on the ground, and I'm hauling my butt out of the seat, and I'm looking straight ahead up at this ship. And, it had to have been a couple hundred feet in diameter. I am not good at all with size. I couldn't tell you. But it covered from one side, it was at least hanging over the Carl's Jr. and hanging over the Rite Aid, which was across the freeway. So you've got some footage in between there.
Right, it's a big ship.
Yeah, it was a big ship. And I'm leaning on my door, and I turn the lights off, and I'm walking around to the front of my car. And as I'm standing there, this car comes up behind me with these lights that are flashing, and it was a highway patrolman. And he gets out, and he says, "Ma'am, what are you doing? Is your car broke down?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm leaning on the car. No, the hood's not up, so no, I'm not." I said, "But do you see that?" And he looked up, and he goes, well, what he said I can't say on the radio. And he walked around to the hood of my car, because I have a Mustang. And he's standing right next to me, and he says, "Oh, my God, is that really what I'm seeing?" I said, "Yeah, you really are seeing this. Isn't this something?" What it looked like was Teflon, really shiny Teflon. And you actually, if you weren't looking for it, you probably wouldn't see it.
Kate, I have to tell you, I've heard that exact description before of Teflon.
Mm-hmm.
People tell me it almost absorbs the light and doesn't create any reflection.
Exactly.
So.
Oh, it was something. But you know what? I had more fun with the highway patrolman. He wouldn't give me his name. His name was on his badge. And he said, "Ma'am, you can't write anything about this because I'm working on a couple books right now." And he said, "No, you can't." He said, "If my name is associated with anything like this, just like airline pilots, if they mention anything about a UFO, they could lose their jobs." And he said, I believe in this stuff, and I can't believe I'm seeing it, but you can't use my name." And I said, "Don't worry about it. Not a problem."
Because police officers are the ones who often see this stuff, and
uh-huh.
They can't tell people.
It is, and it's very sad, but society right now is just not ready to hear it. And after I finish writing my books and I get them out there, I'm hoping that people that have had experiences who are afraid to talk about them make contact with you or I, and they feel, we can make them feel comfortable enough to come forward and tell their story.
Right, right. It's about time.
So many people I have interviewed refuse to let me use their names. And so a lot of the stories that I'm using, the experiences in my books, you know, I'm using aliases because they have jobs that they're afraid of losing or being ridiculed, or they don't want their children being ridiculed. And, you know, I can understand that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We as society, they're not ready for this.
So what happened with the police officer?
Well, what happened was he made an exit, beat the hoof, back into the car, and I got back into the car, and I thought, okay, I'm going to see if I can get underneath this thing. And, I don't have a cell phone. I don't use cell phones. I don't think they're healthy. You know, that's my opinion, and, you know, that's my choice. And but I had my dad's cell phone. Funny, that day, the folks have a cell phone that they use when they travel, just in case they break down. You know, they're back then they were in their 70s, and they got this cell phone, so they very rarely use it. So, you know, it wasn't, I pulled it out, wasn't working, so I took it down and had it looked at the day that I saw that thing. So I had it in the car with me. And I've got some friends who are part of a stargazing club here in town, and they were up on the mountain, Breckenridge Mountain, that night. And I was supposed to go up there, but I was just too tired after getting off of work. So I pulled off, I got in the car, took my exit, went over the freeway, still looking out my windshield to see if I could still see this thing, pulled right into the Carl's Jr. parking lot, pulled over into a space behind Carl's Jr. and got out of the car, and I'm standing there, and I'm right underneath it.
Wow.
And, you know, I could feel this unusual energy that's one of the gifts I've been given. I can feel some unusual energy. And it had a very unusual energy to it. I don't know how to explain it. It was like a top that spins. You would think that it would be aerodynamically correct, but the energy didn't feel right. It was like it wasn't working right. It was like the engine was misfiring, like, you know, a spark plug was misfiring in a vehicle. It didn't feel right. I don't know what it was, but, you know, it just didn't feel right. So I got on the cell phone and I called a friend of mine who was up on Breckenridge Mountain, and I told him, I said, you would not believe what I'm doing. I am in the car underneath a UFO down here in town off of Oswell and Auburn. Can you, from where you are, see where I am? And he said, Kate, he said, we've been watching this craft for about 30 minutes.
Wow.
He said it came out of the sky. There were no lights on it. He said the kids were the ones that noticed it, because the adults, there were about a dozen young kids, anywhere from 8 to 12, and three adults. And the kids were the ones that noticed it. Mm-hmm. And right then, they were up on Breckenridge Mountain. They saw this craft from the top. They were up above it and could see it. And he said, it is the most unusual thing we've ever seen. And we were, you know, I'm standing there underneath this thing, and it started to wobble. You know how you see these old UFO movies on TV where they start to wobble? Well, that's kind of what it was doing, as though my take on it was the person flying it didn't know what they were doing, or something was wrong with it.
So this could have been one of ours.
My guess was that it was one of ours. And, you know, a lot of the UFOs that I have seen, I'm guessing, are some of ours.
Well, you're in that aerospace valley area, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We get a lot of different aircraft around here, because Edwards Air Force Base is, it's a couple of hours away, but still, you know, we get a lot of aircraft, military aircraft over Bakersfield.
Right. So you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is Kate Johnson, and we're talking about her amazing UFO encounters. Now, Kate, I don't want to put you on the spot, but one story you told me, which I thought was fascinating, was when you were employed at the
China Lake.
Right. And you witnessed a laser being used.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I don't have a problem talking about that at all.
That's an amazing story. People should know.
Well, I was a contractor for another company, and I worked in Michelson Lab in China Lake back in the late 70s. And I worked with other people on the cruise missile project, and Sidewinder and Tomahawk back then. And I did systems. I was a systems analyst. And one night, they used to test a lot of the missiles in the evening so they could see the thermal pictures on some of the computer screens on how these missiles were maneuvering. And one night we were way, way out on the base. The base is like 300 square miles of absolute desert. And there were a lot of burrows out there. You know, they do a lot of the burrow roundups to find homes for them because sometimes there's just no water and people worry about, you know, them finding water and food. And so they round them up and adopt them out. And my family adopted quite a few of them over the years. And some of these guys that, you know, were in the military, the Navy, they had this laser out there, and they were getting it ready to shoot. Well, they had put some of the testing for the missile we were going to, you know, watch certain parts of the missile that night, and they pulled this laser out, and it had a big blue beam. I mean, it was like a huge spotlight. And the controls on it...
Now, where did they say this laser came from?
They said, according to what the guys were saying, it came out of a ship that crashed on the base.
A UFO.
A UFO ship. Mm-hmm. That is what the Navy guys said. And they were talking in hushed tones, as though they didn't want me to hear. But back then, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, UFO. My ears perk up, and I'm eavesdropping, you know.
Sure.
So anyway, where we were, they had a bunch of the old Army tanks and trucks that were on tracks, whatever those things are called, and little houses and huts and things that, you know, they used to use the missiles and direct them and blow them up and test them and, you know, all that. And so they got this laser ready, and I was standing on the ground a couple feet away from it, and they were on this platform that was on the back of a, like a Jeep, a bigger Jeep thing. And they had it all set up, and I heard one of the guys say, well, let's give it a try. Let's, you know, see what she can do. So they turned it on, and it sounded like a jet, a very quiet jet, but you know how jet engines are so loud? Well, this thing sounded just like that, only pretty quiet. I mean, it didn't make a really loud noise. It was just very, you could feel the strength of power emanating from this thing. And the controls on it could control the beam. It was either very, very skinny, like a sword, or they could widen the beam like a big spotlight. Well, what they did was, one of the Army tanks that had been blown up numerous times, they aimed it at that tank thing, and you know those things weigh thousands of pounds with those tracks and whatever else.
Tons.
Yeah, tons. And they hit that beam on it in just a small single beam, then they widened it up, and I'm standing here thinking, okay, if this is a laser, wouldn't it be cutting that thing in half or something?
Right.
But it wasn't. It was as though it had a suction cup on the end of it, and when they moved the light up, it lifted the truck thing right off the ground. You could see the dirt, you could see the tracks hanging off of it, and I mean, it lifted that sucker right off the ground. And the guys are going, oh my God, look at that. We don't have anything that can do that. Can you believe that?
Wow. So they're out there testing UFO technology, like Mavericks, huh?
Yeah. So they laid it, they set it back down, and they said, okay, let's open her up and see what else we can do. And one of the guys on the other side of the Jeep said, oh, look, there are some of the burros. Aim it over at the burros. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't think you're going to do that.
No.
I am a big animal lover. And there was no way in hell I was going to allow anybody to hurt an animal.
How old were these guys?
They were probably just a few years older than me. I mean, I graduated out of high school in 76,
so
and this was in 78, so they were early 20s.
Right, just young guys. Okay.
Yeah, young guys who didn't know any better and who didn't care. And so I walked around the back of the Jeep because I saw them, and they turned the laser off, and then they aimed it at the burros. There were probably 30 little burros out there, and they... in the interim, as of them moving, I had a feeling that if I opened my mouth, I was probably going to get buried in the desert. This is when all the trouble started with me on the base. So I dialed my phone, and I called a friend of mine who was a police officer on the Ridgecrest PD. And I was talking to him, and I told him what was going on. And he had seen some really strange things with me. And I told him, if something happens, I want you to know where I'm at. And right then, the line went dead, and they were getting ready to power the thing up, and I walked around and kicked the connection, and it didn't work.
You unplugged it?
I unplugged it.
The power source.
I unplugged the power source. And it stopped, and one of the guys said, what do you think you're doing? I'm not going to let you kill some innocent animals. And who do you think you are? Well, not somebody you want to mess with. You are not killing any animals with this thing. So anyway, they started getting, let's just say, very unfriendly. And right then, my phone rang, and it was my friend, the police officer. And I said, guys, this is my friend, blah, 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 police officer on the Ridgecrest PD. And I just let him know what I'm doing out here. And if something happens to me, you guys are all going down for it. So I suggest you just let me be. So I got back in the Jeep that I came out in with all my equipment. I went back to the lab, and he came on base, and he picked me up, took me home.
Wow.
And then when I got to work the following day, that's when a lot of the stuff started happening. They started watching me, you know, a lot more closely. And after that, I didn't go out on any more test runs. And it was soon after that that I wasn't working as a contractor anymore.
Did you see any other UFO-type activity on the base?
Oh, heck yes. Loads. Oh, my goodness. Loads. Yes.
Like what? Just sightings and stuff?
There were a lot of lights. A lot of lights hovering in different colors. The one that I noticed was an amber colored, and it was on a ship that was triangular. There was only all the triangular ships that they're talking about.
So we must be testing loads of alien technology over there.
Must be. At least they were. I don't know about now. I've got friends that still live there, and they still see things up in the sky, but not really over the base, mostly over the mountains.
Huh.
But I don't think the base right now is running on a full staff. But I know they're not testing missiles over there anymore, because shortly after my run-in, about 3 months later, they transferred all the missile testing back to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So I did. I started a lot. And there was a man there in Michelson Lab that I made acquaintances with, and I know his name wasn't what he said, but he was old enough that when he told me, he'd been at Roswell. And some of the things that he told me about Roswell were very incredible, but there's not enough time to even go into that.
Yeah, we only have 15 minutes. I'm so upset.
I know. Some of these things just take so long to tell because there's so many details. One thing, do you remember the story I told you about Integratron, giant rock?
I do.
Okay. I'll try and make that really quick. without going into much detail, Integratron is out past 29 Palms here in California, out in the desert. And it was built by George Van Tassel, who died in 78. And I had the pleasure to make his acquaintance. And there is such a story because my life, I found out, is tied into his.
He's a very famous UFO contactee.
Yes. And I'm going to explain that in one of my books, but I won't do it. I won't go into it now. But friends, when I was in high school, sophomore in high school, we used to take our motorcycles out into the desert and go riding. And one of the friends of the guy I was just palling around with, kind of dating, kind of a boyfriend type thing, he said, "Well, let's go down to this place called Giant Rock. You know, I've heard about it, and it's, you know, this big rock that is supposed to be a magnet for UFOs. We can go camping, ride our bikes, and blah, blah, blah." So we went one Saturday morning and got there about noon, and we passed, on the way to Giant Rock, we passed this dome kind of building that looked like a dome home, you know, those, but it was white. And it had a lot of it had a construction fence around it, you know, the cyclone fences that they put up when there's construction. There was a lot of lumber and building stuff laying around. And so when we got out to Giant Rock and the guys loaded our motorcycles off, instead of out riding with them, I rode back to the Integratron and met this George Van Tassel. And the story that ensued with him was absolutely amazing. Where my life ties into it, but I don't have time to go into that right now. But he actually knew one of my relatives, which is another story in itself. But he and I talked a great deal, as though we knew each other from, you know, it's like we'd known each other forever.
I wonder if you were in touch with the same ETs.
Same ETs, exactly. And he told me that these ETs had given him the blueprints to build this Integratron, which, once in a functioning state, humans could walk through from end to end, walk through the middle and out another door, and by sound be harmonically and molecularly changed at the molecular level to where there was no disease in their bodies. They would be brought into perfection, that all of their DNA, all of the DNA that was not perfect, the problem DNA that pops out throughout all the years that we, you know, that we grow and get old, this machine, this building, when it spins, it's like a wagon wheel around the outside, and this wheel is supposed to spin at high speeds. And humans are supposed to walk in from one door, travel through the center, and then out the other door. And they are supposed to be completely
molecularized.
Rise, yes, thank you.
But it was never completed, right?
It was never completed. No, he passed away before it could be done. And he had told me that the government, different areas of the government were watching him, and he wasn't sure if he was going to have a chance to get it done. Well, you know, I saw him for a couple of years, visited with him. I maybe visited with him half a dozen times. I mean, living in Bakersfield and going to school, the only time I was able to get to Ridgecrest to go riding was occasionally on a weekend. And if I wasn't driving, I would be taking the bus over, and then my friends would pick me up. But I only got down that way with friends about six times. And the next time that we went down, I was driving, and I was told that he had passed away. And nobody wanted to talk about it.
Wow.
And so, you know, it changed hands. The women that own it now are, from what I hear, part of the family, but I am not sure about that. But part of his family somewhere down the line, but like I said, I am not sure of that. I have never met them. But it was just an incredible, incredible time for me because he actually knew one of my relatives, and the story behind my relative is absolutely fantastic.
We're going to have to save that one for another time.
Well,
I know it's an amazing story.
We do, yeah. Well, and I'm going to tell it in the book. I promise I'm going to do that. But the first night that I met him, he was telling me about the lights that came out of the mountain right there where there was an underground base. And apparently there are a lot of underground bases here in California. Shasta, Lassen.
Well, there's one here off
Salton
the
Sea.
There's a bunch.
There's tons. Well, we had four trucks. There were eight of us, four boys, four girls, eight motorcycles. And we put our trucks in like a square, like a box, with the little barbecue in the middle, and we had our sleeping bags in the back of the trucks, and we were up, you know, sitting at the table and eating and visiting, and everybody decided a little past midnight that they were going to go to bed. Well, I was laying in the back of the truck, and we were all talking about the day, and I was telling them all about meeting George Van Tassel and the Integratron, and they said, oh, you mean that big white building? So I told them all about it, and they were all very quiet. They, you know, they were all really wanting to listen. So as I was talking, my boyfriend Martin said, look at that. What are those things up there? What kind of lights are those? And we all, you know, we're laying in the back of these pickup trucks, and we look up, and here are these lights, a bunch of little lights, like little white fairies coming down out of the sky. And I thought, oh, wow, it's a meteor shower. And one of the girls, across the way in the other truck said, no, doesn't a meteor shower kind of shoot across the night? And I'm like, well, yeah, could be, unless it's coming down at us. And so I got out of the truck. I don't know why, but I felt compelled to get out of the truck. And Martin said, Kate, don't get out of the truck. You know, just stay right here. Well, I walked past the truck out into the dark, standing out past Giant Rock, and I'm looking up and hear these lights come down out of the sky and circle around me like they're little fairies. That's about the only way I can explain this.
Wow.
Martin is screaming at me because he thinks I'm going to be killed. And, you know, that's just the human. That's just a fear-based human coming out. You know,
you weren't scared.
I wasn't scared, no. But I put my hands out, and whenever they kind of flitted, they were synchronized. I don't know how to explain it anymore, but they were floating around me. There were hundreds of them. They were like little fireflies.
It sounds beautiful.
It was absolutely wonderful, and I was so mesmerized. And when I held my hand out, there were a couple of them that just kind of sat in my hand, and I felt warmth and love, and I was just almost close to tears because...
Okay, what were these?
I'm guessing beings. I'm guessing part of the beings that George Van Tassel met.
That's so amazing.
In like a, you know, I don't know if they got any bigger. I don't know if that was the way they traveled. You know, I've seen lights.
The image of one just sitting in your hand like that.
Yeah,
so...
it was just sitting in my hand. It was just like the size of a marble. And it was just all illuminated, sparkling. It was just
could
wonderful.
Could you feel it?
Pardon?
Could you feel it?
Yeah, I could feel warmth.
Wow.
Not heat, but warmth. It was just, I couldn't believe it. I was just, by the time it was over and done, I was in tears because I felt I had been touched by something so powerful that I was just so humbled that they had chosen me. And I got to thinking about it because George Van Tassel had been telling me that there were different beings, different shapes that the beings took on. And I don't know, but I just felt that once I made contact with him and the fact that he knew my relative, I was guessing that they were saying hello or whatever it is they were doing. I never saw them again.
How did the experience end? I mean,
they just took off, not as though they were in a hurry, but just as though they were traveling through, took off to the south towards the Integratron, and I lost sight of them about a mile away. And I'm guessing, since he said that they lived in the mountain, lived under the mountain, just south of the Integratron, I'm guessing that's where they were going. But it was the most incredible thing. And after that night, Martin, when we got back and he was getting ready to put me on the bus, he said, you know what? He said, I just think you're a wonderful person. But he said, the things that happened to you are just too weird. He said, I've seen too many UFOs. He says, I'm getting to the point where I think they follow you around. And he said, it's not a bad thing. He said, there's just something different about you. And he said, you always tell me that you don't belong here. He said, I think I believe that. But he said, I was really scared for you, and you just don't seem to be afraid of anything. And that night, he stopped being my boyfriend.
Wow.
And because it scared him.
Right.
And I've had a lot of people who have been with me and witnessed a lot of these strange things who can't handle it because they can't explain it. They feel like they have to explain it. And I don't. I think it's great. I'm like, bring it on.
So how long did you go without seeing a UFO? I mean, how often do you see them, like, say, in 1 year?
Way back when, it had been several years before I saw the one over the parking lot on September 6th. It had been several years. I'd seen a lot of lights in the sky, but I couldn't tell with any great firmness that a UFO is what I was seeing.
Right.
I have seen so many different kinds of ships, different shapes, and, you know, I truly believe that more than half of them are being maneuvered by beings that, you know, don't look like us.
Right.
But after the Roswell incident and some of the things I've seen over my life, I mean, when I was growing up here in Bakersfield, my dad's sister and her husband had a ranch up, I won't say what city, just in case, because they're still living.
Well, we have like 1 minute.
One minute. We had a crop circle, several crop circles on our property, and we had a lot of sightings every summer when I was on the ranch.
Wow.
And that's going to be in my book, too. So, you know.
So, you know, you're working on a series of books, then.
Yes, I am. You know, I need to sit down and finish one at a time, but, you know, I keep getting these ideas for each one, and so I'm working on about 7 different ones, and I need to finish one at a time. So... But I thank you so much for having me, and I hope I didn't bore you guys to tears, but...
Oh, no, are you kidding? I can't wait to have you on again. We didn't even get to talk about your Bigfoot sighting.
No, I didn't, and I didn't get to talk about the chameleon beings either, like people saw in signs, because I ran into several of those,
right.
You know, in Northern California back in the late 90s. Way before that movie was even made.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's been some very interesting developments.
Well, that's very, very interesting. Well, Kate, I want to thank you very much for coming on to the show.
No, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, you're a delight, believe me. And, I can't wait to have you on again. Will you come on again sometime in the future?
Oh, honey, yes. You
cool.
know how I love to talk. And monopolize a conversation. Yes, you can have me.
Yes, I want to talk about your Bigfoot experiences, your ghost experiences, and more of your UFO experiences.
You got it.
And definitely when your books get published, we're going to have you on again.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay, well, thank you, and I guess that's pretty much our show for tonight.
Well, thank you, my dear, and I hope everybody continues looking towards the heavens, because they're out there. You just have to really, really want to see. and they will show themselves if you really want to see.
I agree. Well, that's our show. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. Our guest tonight has been Kate Johnson, and we have been talking about her amazing UFO experiences, and I can't wait to have her on again. Next week, we're going to have a show about human levitation. So I hope you can all join us, and thank you all for listening, and have a great evening.